Hey, good morning, Christ Church. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hey, and this week is our Love Week. So I want to say a special thank you to all of you who have signed up to volunteer and to serve and to just be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ this week. Thank you for doing that. And one of the things that I love about our church is that our church is always so excited and energized and so willing to serve and love our community. And I love your heart. I believe you are honoring God in a special way. And I just want you to know, I appreciate that in you, church. And I am just honored to be part of this community. Well, today we are going to wrap up our sermon series, The Man in the Arena. And we've been talking about this idea of how do we be contributors? What does it mean to be a contributor in this world? It's really easy to just fall into being an armchair quarterback of the rest of the world. It's really easy to just sit back and critique and to talk about how things could be better and to criticize maybe those who are in different positions above us or, you know, peers with us. But what God calls us to be is contributors to this world, to be people that he can use to bring his goodness, his love, his power, and his presence here. And today we're going to wrap it up, and I want to talk about one of the big things that gets in the way of our ability to contribute is fear. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen fear hold you back in life. I've seen fear hold me back many times in life. I don't think I'm naturally courageous. I think that fear is always kind of something I have to overcome to do a lot of things. And fear is a funny thing, isn't it? Because you know that sometimes, like, I don't really have any reason to be afraid, but yet I still am. I still am under its power. Years ago, I did a Tough Mudder with some friends, and that's one of those obstacle races with a bunch of different kinds of obstacles, and it was a really fun time. But one of the events that I went up to was this water event where you're in the water and there is a fence, a chain link fence, right in front of your face. And they do it where, you know, the only way to go through it is just be able to have your nose and your mouth out of the water, but your ears and the rest of your body are under the water as you kind of pull along this fence. So it's this incredibly claustrophobic feeling. And I am a bit claustrophobic. I don't like tight spaces. I was pretty much terrified of elevators, you know, for most of my early years. I don't like that feeling. It puts me in a place of panic. And so I watch many people go through this obstacle, and a lot of times people just start freaking out in the midst. Now, in reality, they were okay. They could breathe. They're going to make it. But in the midst of that, the fear would grip them, and they would start panicking and freaking out, and the people who were running the event would have to lift up the chain fence and get them out, and then they would sort of do the walk of shame as they were leaving. And I just thought, I was like, Chet, don't do that. Don't be that guy. If you're going to do this, make sure you make it through. And so eventually, I kind of went, and I did it, and it took everything in me to just stay focused and not lose my mind and not embarrass myself. And I made it to the end. But fear was right there the whole time and almost pulling me under, literally and figuratively. And fear is like that in our lives. I can think of many different times where I wanted to, you know, share Christ with someone, but I was afraid, so I didn't. I can think of times where I felt God was asking me to do something that was outside of my comfort zone, and I felt the fear in it, and I pulled back. And if we can't learn how to deal with fear in a different way, then we'll never learn how to live the life of contribution that God wants for us. For some of us watching today, fear is the thing that is getting in the way. We want to be part. We want to contribute. We want to use our gifts. We want to make a difference for Christ in this world. But it's fear that trips us up. So the good news today is if that's you, you're not alone. Because I think to some degree, honestly, that's all of us. Because God's calling always puts us right in the path of fear. God's desires for our life always puts us right at the crossroads of fear. And so today we're going to look at one of my favorite people in all the scriptures, a man named Gideon. And I think you're really going to relate to him because he is just like us. He was afraid too. And he really struggled with it, but we're going to see how God led him out of that to be this powerful deliverer for God's people. So today, I'm going to pick up at Judges chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 11. Judges 6, verse 11. So while you're turning there or while you're looking it up, let me just give you the context of Judges chapter 6. Judges is a very frustrating book in a lot of ways. And the reason is because we see God's people go through the same cycle over and over again. And what happens is that the people drift away from God. They start worshiping other deities. They start worshiping idols. They start giving their allegiance to someone other than the true one and true God. And then God allows other nations to come and to oppress them, to essentially make life hard for them. And life gets hard, and then they cry out to God. They say, God, rescue us from these nations, from these people. And then God sends a judge, a deliverer, someone to lead them out of it. And God uses that person, and they get delivered out of it, and they get their freedom again, and they get space to breathe, and life gets good again, and they kind of calm down, and they go through the motions, and then, guess what? They get a little too comfortable, a little too complacent, and they start to drift, and they start the cycle over again and again. And this is kind of a lot of the book of Judges. And so where we're reading right now is they're in that cycle, and they're at the point where the ancient nation of Israel is being oppressed by the Midianites and the Amalekites, being oppressed by these other nations. And what they're doing is these two nations are coming in and they are taking everything. Any crops that they grow, animals that they raise, things that they make, they just come in and they just take it all. And so for years, this is going on. And the people of Israel are so frustrated because they can't feed themselves. They can't take care of themselves. They can't get any forward momentum in life because as soon as they do, the Midianites come in and they take all their good stuff and they leave them in the dust. So they cry out to God. And then finally, verse 11 tells us, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. So this verse gives us a good sense of what it felt like and what it was like during this time. Gideon is Joash's son, and he goes in this wine press, which just kind of imagine sort of this underground, this dugout area, and he is beating out the wheat, you know, which typically you would do it out in the open because the wind would carry away the chaff, the part that you want, and then the heavier part that you do want would fall back into the basket. So this is really something you can only do in the open air where there's some wind, but Gideon's doing it in the wine press because he's afraid. He's got some food. He doesn't want it taken away. He doesn't want the Midianites coming in and taking the labors of his hard work. So this is a picture of fear and frustration. And Gideon's there. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him there in the winepress. And he said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. I love that line so much. O mighty man of valor. There is nothing courageous about Gideon right here. He's hiding. He's worried. He's afraid. He's frustrated. He's just trying to eke out his existence. And the angel of the Lord comes and he says to him, you great man of courage, you great man of ability, almighty man of valor, God is with you. And Gideon said to him, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Why is it so hard? Why are the Midianites winning here? Why are they oppressing us? Where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us? Saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? I've heard the story of Moses. I've heard the story of the Exodus out of Egypt and the signs and wonders that God did. Where is all that stuff? Now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Gideon, you're the one I'm going to use. Y'all know where God is? He's right here. He's with you. And we're going to go take care of this problem of the Midianites together. Do not I send you? And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. Gideon says to the Lord, he says, I am the weakest of the weak. You got the wrong guy. If you want someone to work through, if you want someone to use, if you want someone to lead this, I am not your guy. I'm from the weakest clan, and I'm the weakest dude in that clan. I am the weakest of the weak. Maybe some of us have felt that at times in our life. But the Lord said to him, and if you have a copy of the scripture, I want you just to underline that line right there. But I will be with you. But I, the Lord, will be with you. Because that changes everything. And you shall strike the Midianites as one man. Now here's what I want to show you today. The help that we need is here. The help that we long for in life, it's here. Maybe like Gideon, we've got some real big problems in our life. Maybe there's some things that we are really afraid of, that we're overwhelmed by, that just seems so much bigger than us. Maybe it's an issue in our marriage and we're like, how could we ever have a healthy marriage again? How could we ever find ways to forgive each other and love each other? It just feels impossible. Maybe some of us are struggling with something in our health and we just can't imagine finding joy in life and purpose and meaning. Maybe it's something in our work. Maybe it's something with our kids. And it just feels overwhelming. And I want you to know today, the help that you need to face that and the help that you need to get through that, it's here. The Calvary is here. The help is here. And you know what it is? It's God with you. It's God in you. Gideon says, Lord, there's a problem. Where are you? Where's your great power? And God says, I'm here. And Gideon, I'm with you. And I'm going to use you to bring the deliverance that you're asking for. Now, there is a lot in this text that I want to dig into to help us to understand the power of these words to Gideon and the power of what I think God is saying to each of us today. The first thing I want you to see is that Gideon, he couldn't reconcile his present circumstance in the presence of the Lord. See, this, you know, difficult time with the Midianites, what was happening. And so he said, well, if God was with us, we wouldn't be in this painful and difficult spot. Now, the irony of Gideon's question is that it wasn't that God wasn't with them, it was that they were constantly turning their back on God. And in fact, in Judges chapter 6, when we first see the story develop and we first see the people crying out to God about the problem of the Midianites, we see that God's first thing that he tells them is why they are in this spot. And he sends a prophet. So it's really interesting. Their cry for help, it begins with a teaching moment, with a moment where God is just trying to bring them understanding. And he's saying to them, you guys are here today because you continue to forsake me. You're moving your allegiance from me to these false gods, to these idols. You're incorporating them in your life and you're turning your back on me. And that's why you're here. I am the deliverer. I am the God that is here to protect you, and is here to help you. But you are running from me. Now, this is a really powerful thing to think about, because some of the times in our life when we are stuck and when we are in pain, sometimes God is looking to use those in our life to wake us up and to learn something that we desperately need to know and to understand. God is saying to Gideon, he's saying, hey, look, you guys need to understand why you're here so that you don't keep falling into the same ditch. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that every difficulty in life is a wake-up call from God to teach us a lesson. I'm not saying that every difficulty and painful experience that we face, look, sometimes life is just hard. And it's not because of something we've done or didn't do. Jesus lived a perfect life and he faced suffering. And sometimes you're doing the right thing, but it's just part of the difficulty and the pain in the mystery of life. I think that's a lot of the pain that we experience. But there is some pain that's connected to the choices that we're making, to how we're living our life. And part of what God wants to do is to give us insight and understanding so that we can learn from it, we can grow, and we can change. And this is that moment. And so Gideon says, God, how can you be with me? And God's saying, I'm using this to show you how to be with me. Falling into the hands of Midian is not evidence of God's rejection. It's an invitation into his saving work. And for some of us today, I just want you to think, and I want to think for myself, maybe some of the unhealthy cycles of our own life, some of the pain of our life, maybe that isn't God's rejection. Maybe that's an invitation to learn from him. And to learn something that we desperately need to know that will bless us and help us in the future. Now, Gideon then becomes God's solution to this promise, to this struggle. Gideon becomes the one that God is going to empower and to anoint to solve this problem of the Midianites. And I want you to see today that maybe the struggles in our life, the problems that you face, the difficulties ahead of you, maybe God is looking at you and me today like he's looking at Gideon. And he's saying, hey, I know you're worried about this and you're frustrated and you're afraid, but I want you to know you are my solution to a better future. See, today, God in you and God in me is maybe the answered prayer that we're actually looking for. Now, Gideon, like many of us, he had resistance to that idea. First, he said, well, look, God, you got the wrong guy. I'm not this mighty man of valor. I'm not this guy that you could use in this way. I'm the weakest of the weak. And for many of us, we look at ourselves and we're like, yeah, I'm not capable to move through this season of life, to figure this out, to create a better future. Maybe like Gideon, we just look at the enormity of the problem. The Midianites far outnumber the Israelites. We see in the story when they actually go to battle that the Midianites have 135,000. And as the story goes, Gideon shows up with 300. They are drastically outnumbered. And maybe we feel way outnumbered by our struggles and challenges in life. But I want you to know that there's a principle in this for all of us, that God uses weak people to glorify his name in a special way. Church, God does not expect us to be strong enough to take on the challenges of life. God expects us to recognize that we are weak, but when he is with us, we are strong enough to face them. God is not asking us to find all this strength and power and courage in ourselves, but God is asking us to recognize our own weakness so we can find the strength and power in him. The Apostle Paul says it this way. He says, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Today, you might look at your life and you might see a lot of weakness. Weakness in you, weakness in the resources around you. And if you do today, I want you to know that that weakness is not an obstacle to God's power in your life. It is actually what is necessary for it to flow through us. See, what we see through the story of Gideon and what we hear God later on tell Gideon again and again is that God is going to get the glory for the winning of this battle at the end of the day. Gideon is who he's going to work through, but God gets the glory. And in your life and in my life, it's the same deal. Our weakness is an opportunity for God to get glory, for him to show his power and his goodness, and for people to look at us and say, well, I know it wasn't that guy. I know it wasn't Gideon. It was God in Gideon. It was God in you. It was God in me. That's what God wants to do through each of us. Now, part of that process means that we have to understand ourselves a little bit differently. God's understanding, this is one of my favorite parts of this story, God's understanding of who we are is always different than our self-understanding. God shows up to Gideon and he says, mighty man of valor. That doesn't fit with Gideon's understanding of who he is. Gideon says, I understand myself as the weakest of the weak. God says, I understand you as a mighty man of valor, as a great warrior, as a great military leader, as a powerful man who is more than capable of taking on this challenge. And I believe when God uses our life, part of that process is learning to see ourselves differently. See, apart from God, we are the weakest of the weak. But with God's help in our life, we are all mighty men and women of valor. I know we don't see ourselves that way. It might feel really uncomfortable and really foreign to believe that about who we are. But part of allowing God to use our lives is allowing God to define who we are, our potential and our capabilities, and not defining that in our own limited way. See, what I believe happens is that when we define ourselves, we always define ourselves in ways that keep us passive, that keep us from engaging and contributing to the world and to the purpose of God. We identify ourselves like Gideon, the weakest of the weak. So what is Gideon doing? He's hiding. He's just keeping out of all of it. He's not contributing because that self-definition keeps him there. But God's definition of who he is, it empowers him. It allows him to engage in the challenge. And for some of us, part of engaging in what we need to in our lives is hearing the voice of God whispering into our souls, saying, I know this is who you think you are, but this is who you are because Christ is in you, because the Holy Spirit is alive in you, because God has a purpose and a plan, and it is bigger than your capabilities. It's what God can do in you, not what you can do in your own power. Pat Tillman, he has always been an inspiration to me, but he was the NFL safety who, after 9/11, ended up going into the Army and became an Army Ranger. Left millions of dollars and an incredible career to make $18,000 as an Army Ranger and deploy to Afghanistan. Sadly, he was killed very early on, but one of the things that he said, somewhere inside, we hear a voice. Our voice leads us in the direction of the person we wish to become, but it is up to us whether or not to follow. We hear a voice. Now, I don't think he was talking about the voice of God there, but I believe that the voice of God is speaking to each of us. Like he spoke to Gideon. And that voice is always going to call us to be something more than we are today. That voice is always going to be a voice of elevation. It's going to be a voice that calls us out of the wine press, out of the hole in the ground, and infuses our life with purpose and meaning and courage. But I think Pat Tillman is right. The choice is up to us, whether we'll listen to it or not. And Gideon listens to it. And he moves. And God begins to move through him. God calls Gideon to leadership, into action. And we don't have time in this message to finish the story, but God does do this miraculous and powerful victory through him. But the first thing that he does, and I just want to share this with you, the first thing that God calls him to do is to go back to his house and to remove the idols that are set up there. In his own home, there were idols to to Baal and to Asherah, and God calls them first to remove those idols. And I think it's this beautiful and powerful principle that if we are going to hear the voice and calling of God, the first thing we need to do is clear our lives of the idols, of the other things that we're trusting in, that we're hoping in, besides God. See, Gideon knew God and understood God, so it wasn't a total rejection of God. He just added these other things, these other idols, into his life. And maybe like Gideon, if we're not careful, many of us, we know God, but we've added other things into our life that aren't him, that maybe are actually taking space in our heart, in our mind, in our devotion away from him. And the first call to action is to remove those things from our hearts, from our lives, from our minds, so that we can be solely focused on the presence of Christ. And we can be strengthened and emboldened by who he is. So I want you to think about three questions today. Number one, is there a lesson I'm missing that is keeping me stuck? Again, I'm not saying all pain is this moment, this wake-up call, this lesson from God like we see in the book of Judges. But some of it is. And I want you to just ask yourself, is there certain pain in my life? Is there a lesson that I'm failing to learn that's keeping me stuck? Here's the second question. Is there an identity I'm resisting? Gideon resisted, mighty man of valor. You are going to be the deliverer of God's people. He fought against it. Eventually, he went with it, and God was very patient with him, and God will be very patient with us. But is there an identity that we're resisting? Is there a calling of God on our life? Is there a call to action? Is there a call to something more than we are today that we're resisting because we're afraid? Because we're caught up in our inadequacy. We're caught up in the fear of what's ahead. And we're not resting in those words that God spoke to Gideon. I am with you. If he is with us, none of those fears matter. None of those fears have the power that the presence of God with us has. Is there an identity I'm resisting? And lastly, here's the last question. If God is with me in this problem, if God is with me, if he is in me, if his spirit is at work, then what is my next step? What is my next step? Because I have to move toward action. I have to move toward engagement. I have to move toward contribution. So what is my next step? Now, the one thing I don't want you to miss is that when you see and you read this story, and I wish we had time to go through the whole story because it's so powerful, it's so rich, and it's so good, but the real hero of this story is not Gideon. It's who we first see as the angel of the Lord. But then we see that he stops calling him the angel of the Lord and he just calls him the Lord. And so what we can surmise is that this angel of the Lord is actually the pre-incarnate Christ. It's the person of Christ before the incarnation, before he was born through Mary and incarnate on this earth, but it is the second person of the Trinity, the pre-incarnate Christ. It is the Lord who has showed up, and he gave him a new identity. He comforts him with his presence. He promises his help. He directs his way. He patiently guides him through this whole process, and he is the real story, the real hero of the story of Gideon. And I want you to know, he will always be the real hero of our story too. See, what's so beautiful about Gideon's story is Gideon was terrified and afraid and caught up in all of that. But God's presence with him and God's presence to him led him to that place to be this powerful and courageous leader. Now, you might be thinking, well, man, if I had God right there present with me to coach me through all this and to comfort me through all this and to help me through all this and to affirm me all through this, well, then I would do what Gideon did too. Well, guess what? I got good news. You've got something even more than Gideon had. Gideon had the physical presence of the Lord right there for some of this, but you have the presence of Christ living within you. You have the Holy Spirit who has sealed you, who is at work in you, who is guiding you into the truth of Christ, who is empowering you in every way. So here's what I'm telling you today. If you need God's help, and if you have been like Gideon and you've just looked around and in the honesty of your heart, you're like, God, where are you? I've heard all these great things about you. Where are you? I want you to know today, you are the answer to that prayer. Not you alone, but Christ in you, Christ with you, Christ for you. And he has the strength, the courage, the bravery that you and I need today. See, God does not call the brave. His calling makes us brave. God does not look around and say, all right, you know, who's all these great, powerful, strong, courageous people? I'm going to gather them up onto my team. No, God looks to people like Gideon and people like me and people like you who are afraid, who are hiding, who are running, who are losing hope and losing faith, and he calls us. And he meets us, and he empowers us, not because we are brave, but to make us brave, so we can live the life that he's calling us to live. Today, you have something better. Napoleon, the great wartime leader, he says, nothing is lost while courage remains. Nothing is lost while courage remains. Today, you can have courage. Not because of you, because of Christ in you. Not because of what you can bring to the fight, because what Christ can in you. Not because of what you can figure out, but because of what Christ can through you. Nothing is lost while courage remains. And every one of us, you have a good reason to leave and to go out into your day, into your week with courage in your heart because of the presence of Christ with you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your presence with us. Lord, I thank you that you're not looking for the brave and the powerful and the wise and the good. But Lord, you're looking for the weak and the scared and the bad and the broken and the unlovable. And Lord, through your grace, you're making us into something different, into something new. Father, I pray we could have a new surge of courage in our lives to do everything that you want us to do. And I pray it would all bring glory to your name, and ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord.